So let's go on and talk a little bit about mantle cell lymphoma. And again, can you sort of provide a little bit of a capsule about how you visualize the disease and, again, what you think about when you see a patient who's newly diagnosed?
So mantle cell lymphoma sort of falls right between indolent and aggressive lymphoma, and it sort of has some of the characteristics of both and not the favorable characteristics. So unlike diffuse large B-cell lymphoma and aggressive lymphomas, it is not curable with combination chemotherapy. And unlike follicular lymphoma, the duration of remissions tend to be, and the overall survival is much shorter, you know, on the order of 7 to 8 years, as opposed to probably now 20 years median survival with follicular lymphoma. It tends to present in older men. It can involve the GI tract and lots of extranodal sites. And it is quite a variable disease in terms of its clinical behavior. There are some patients who present like CLL patients with splenomegaly and circulating disease in the blood without significant lymphadenopathy. Those patients often have a very indolent course, and we don't treat those patients just like we wouldn't a follicular lymphoma patient. There are some patients who are kind of in the middle where the proliferation index is between 10 and 30%, and they have, you know, if they have low volume disease, sometimes we will observe those patients as well, as there's data from Cornell to suggest there isn't a survival disadvantage to that approach. But for the majority of patients who have mantle cell lymphoma, they have a fair burden of disease, and we treat them when we first meet them. There is a group that has very aggressive disease, the blastoid variant in particular, and also the pleomorphic variant. These often have very high proliferation signatures with 60, 70% of the cells dividing, and we know that disease is much more aggressive. So in terms of initial treatment strategies, similar to CLL and the indolent lymphomas, we often look at the age of the patient. For our younger patients, we tend to give them initial chemotherapy using, in our practice, we use a combination of bendamustine plus rituximab, which is a very active regimen in mantle cell lymphoma. And then we typically incorporate some cytarabine because that drug also appears to be very important based on randomized data from Europe. So we use that combination and then take patients to an upfront autologous stem cell transplant, because the longest remissions we see in our younger patients are in patients who've had stem cell transplants, on the order of 5 to 7 years of remission. This dates back to the early 2000s when there was a randomized study comparing interferon to transplant, back before patients were routinely getting rituximab, and there was a benefit to transplant versus interferon, which we obviously don't use anymore. But that has remained a standard treatment for younger patients, and by younger, 70 to 75, if those patients who are 75 are in good shape, we would consider doing a transplant. It's pretty controversial because in the era of rituximab, we don't have a randomized trial comparing rituximab maintenance versus stem cell transplant. So that study is going to be done and is just opening in the U.S., where patients who have a complete response molecularly with no minimal residual disease after initial therapy will be randomized to maintenance rituximab versus auto transplant plus maintenance rituximab, because we know that after transplant, if you give rituximab for 3 years, it's associated with an overall survival benefit. So I think we all sort of look forward to the results of that study to know, do we still need to really hit this disease with a hammer and use our most aggressive chemotherapy regimens? For older patients, you know, we typically will use bendamustine plus rituximab. It's really very well tolerated. There's also data using the combination you just mentioned, rituximab plus lenalidomide, which came out of Cornell. And that also seems to be a tolerable and very active regimen.
Can you talk a little bit about the involvement of the GI tract that's seen with mantle cell lymphoma? Because it seems kind of unusual.
It is unusual. And every year we have several patients whose initial presentation is having been found to have polyps on a screening colonoscopy, and it often can blanket the entire GI, you know, the large bowel, and it can also involve anywhere from the oral cavity all the way down, and patients can have bleeding. Often they're not symptomatic necessarily from GI tract involvement, but it is very common, tonsils, base of tongue, all the way down. So it's a very interesting disease. The vast majority of patients have stage 4 disease when they present. Most will have bone marrow involvement as well.